Good morning once again, everyone. I have my microphone back, so kids beware. I would like to start this morning in page 774 of the Book of Mormon. I've been working on some baptism studies this last week, and my thoughts are kind of drawn near something concerning that a little bit, and I'd like to start reading in the Book of Moroni in the 10th chapter, found on page 774. And I'd like to start reading from verse 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. Now I, Moroni, write somewhat as seemeth me good, and I write unto my brethren, the Lamanites. And I would that they should know that more than 420 years have passed away since the sign was given of the coming of Christ. And I seal up these records after that I have spoken a few words by way of exhortation unto you. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God the Eternal Father in the name of Christ if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith on Christ, and he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And you may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. Said the power of the Holy Ghost manifests this truth to us, confesses to us that Jesus is the Christ. It says if we will ask God to reveal those things that are good, those things that are true, those things that are right, that he will, with the power of his Spirit, make things known to us. Again, I've been working this last week, especially last couple weeks. Been working on a baptism study for the Arnold son and daughter in Pennsylvania. And in this part concerning the Holy Ghost, and I know this, I've read it. I know that I've received the Holy Ghost. I believe we know we've received it. I've also had the privilege of asking God to send it and bestow it upon someone. We pray for this same Spirit to bless us in our services, to take charge. We pray for it to fill the souls and bodies of those that stand in need. And the more I kept reading scriptures concerning the Holy Ghost, the more I felt like we've kind of, at least myself, I've taken it for granted that we have been given this wonderful gift. And I'd like to read some scriptures and have you follow me concerning the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And the first, I'd like to read some scriptures talking about what is the Holy Ghost or what is the Holy Spirit and why do we need it. And I'd like to turn first on page 677. Just to get an idea, I know we all know this, but I'd like to read some characteristics about the Spirit and what it is and what it brings and what it does. 3 Nephi chapter 13, starting verse 22, the top of page 677. It says, yea, your joy shall be full, even as the Father hath given me fullness of joy, and ye shall be even as I am, and I am even as the Father, and the Father and I are one. And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me, and the Father giveth the Holy Ghost unto the children of men because of me. So we know that the Holy Ghost bears record of the Father and Jesus. And because of Jesus Christ, we are given the Holy Ghost. That's the reason we have it, is because of the Son. And this Holy Ghost, the Spirit that we have, bears record of the Father and bears record of Jesus Christ. Page 763. I know we know these, but I want to call them to our minds this morning. Page 763, verse 9. Moroni chapter 6, verse 9. It says, their meetings were conducted by the church and after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or to exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. So according to this verse, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, leads and directs us. It can lead and direct us as individuals. In here, it's talking about our services that we have, that all of our services are to be conducted by the manner of the workings of the Spirit. And we know that this is what the Spirit can lead us to do, to exhort, to preach, to pray, to supplicate, to sing. Even so it was done. So we know that this Holy Ghost leads and directs us. Turning back a few pages back into Alma, the third chapter, page 318. Page 318, Alma chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 76 to 80. Alma says, behold, I testify unto you that I do know that these things whereof I've spoken are true. And how do you suppose that I know of their surety? Behold, I say unto you, they are made known unto me by the Holy Spirit of God. Behold, I have fasted and prayed many days that I might know these things of myself. And now I do not know of myself that they are true, for the Lord God hath made them manifest unto me by his Holy Spirit, and this is the Spirit of revelation which is in me. So the Spirit can make things known, we'll talk about revelation in a moment, but the Spirit can make things known for us. John, I'd like to turn over in our Bibles to John 14 to read a few other things the Spirit can do. John 14. I'd like to read to you red letters. This is Christ speaking. John 14:26. And Christ says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we know that the Holy Ghost is a comforter, that it can comfort us, that it can bring peace to us. We know that it says that it teaches, that it will teach us all things. It can bring to remembrance the words of Christ. So the Holy Ghost has these characteristics as well and things that it can do. I want to read one more to you in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit makes intercession. What is that? What does the word intercession mean? And don't say to intercess. What does that mean? It says the Spirit makes intercession for us. Goes before. How about this? Pleads on our behalf. To make intercession is to plead on our behalf. So the Spirit makes intercession for us, pleads on our behalf. So we just read five scriptures. You guys, if you're paying attention, tell me, what is this Holy Ghost or this Holy Spirit? What does it do? What can it do? Okay, makes intercession. Very good. Pleads on our behalf. leads and directs. Someone else say something? Keep going. Brings things to your remembrance, especially the Word of God. The Comforter. Teaches us exactly. It teaches us what to pray for. We talked about, I didn't even touch on it here and I just read it. You know, that for we know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It knows our needs more than we even know our needs. And it bears record of the Father and of the Son, Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, we are given this Holy Ghost. That is the reason we are given it, is because of Jesus Christ. So when do we receive the Spirit and or this Holy Ghost? And I'm talking about when it's given to us to not depart again, right? We can call for the Spirit to be in a meeting or bestow it upon some person. But when are we given this as a gift, the Holy Ghost? I just want to read to, I believe we know this, but I want to turn to page 161. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Page 161, 2 Nephi, chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if you shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. So when do we receive the Holy Ghost? After we come out of the waters of baptism, that is when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to read one more about that, page 655, if you would, page 655. 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. It says, and when they had thus prayed, they went down unto the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized, and he came up out of the water and began to baptize, and he baptized all they whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that when all were baptized, they come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So after baptism, you know, I'm going to actually read a little bit more here because this is a pretty awesome time. This is Christ's appearance here on this land. I can only imagine what that would have been like at this time when these righteous people are all gathered together and there's Nephi and the others and they're down at the water's edge and then the Holy Ghost falls upon them and says, and behold, they were encircled about as if it were fire. And it came down from heaven and the multitude did witness it and do bear record. And angels did come down out of heaven and did minister unto them. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came and stood in the midst and ministered unto them. And it came to pass that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth and that also his disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass that when they had all knelt down upon the earth, he commanded his disciples that they should pray. And behold, they began to pray, and they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, in that thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And when they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with thee. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words, that they may believe on me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. So we know that the Holy Ghost is bestowed upon us after we go down and enter into the waters of baptism, after we've repented of the sin in our life and have made this decision to have a covenant between ourselves and God to serve Him. So how do we receive the Holy Ghost? Page 760. Page 760 in Moroni, in the second chapter, verses 1 to 3. Basically the chapter. Moroni, chapter 2. The words of Christ which He spake unto His disciples, the 12 whom He had chosen as He laid His hands upon them. And He called them by name, saying, ye shall call on the Father in My name in mighty prayer. And after that ye have done this, ye shall have power that on Him whom ye shall lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in My name shall ye give it, for thus do Mine apostles. Now Christ spake these words unto them at the time of His first appearing, and the multitude heard it not, but the disciples heard it, and on as many as they laid their hands fell the Holy Ghost. So it comes by someone with authority from Jesus Christ, laying their hands upon the head of the person and asking God to give the gift to them. I want to read one more from Acts concerning that. Acts 19. Acts 19, starting in verse 2. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto Him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on Him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all men were about 12. So again, the reception of the Holy Ghost is bestowed by someone with authority from Jesus Christ, laying their hands upon their head and asking God to give the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just a few pages over to Acts 8. I know we all know this one as well, but I'd like to read it. I'd like to read about how much that the Holy Ghost costs. Acts chapter 8, verses 13 to 22. It says, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wandered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So what is the cost? How many shekels? We must be baptized first in order to receive of the Holy Ghost, and it is a free gift of God. What does the Holy Ghost look like? Anybody? Like a ghost, Father. So the Spirit or the Holy Ghost is invisible. Okay, so it's invisible. What else? You can feel Him. What does He look like, though? Let's read something. Let's turn over to Ether. Because are there things that are invisible that exist? Okay, good. Just want to make sure we all agree to that. There are things that are invisible to the human eye that do exist, right? So Ether, chapter 1, 79 to 81, page 721. Seest thou that ye are created after mine own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine own image. Behold, this body which ye now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in spirit, will I appear unto people in my flesh. And I just want to read another one that we're all very familiar with, is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Because I want to come back to Wayne's comment. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them. So, whose image is Christ in? God's. Whose image are we in? God's too, right? Because Christ is created in God's image, and so are we. So, would you guys say that his spirit then must be in his image too? Why not, Wayne? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. But if they're one, wouldn't they be? Colossians 1, 14 to 16. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we know that our Heavenly Father is invisible. We don't see him. Christ came on earth, and we have this Holy Ghost or this Holy Spirit that we have that abides with us, that's this comforter that makes things known, but is also invisible to us. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, and Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that beareth witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. So the Spirit has a responsibility to bear witness here on earth of our God the Father and Jesus the Christ. So we've been given the Holy Ghost. We have had our baptisms by one with authority. And this Holy Ghost is to be with us here on earth to help us. Like we just read, that the Spirit is here for us on earth to help us in our lives here. That is why we receive the gift. It's to help us here on earth. It's to bear record of the Father and Jesus Christ, to lead, to direct us individually, to direct our meetings that we have when we meet. It's to make things known to us. It's to comfort us. It's to teach us. And it is to bring to remembrance the words of Christ. And it is to make intercession or to plead on our behalf. Would you guys all agree? Let's go back to the first scripture we read this morning, page 775. I think that, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I forget that the Holy Ghost is there to do these things. I forget that, you know, we should not fear, not being able to be comforted, because we have this gift, so that we have this being, if you will, to provide comfort for us. I forget that I have this spirit to make things known for me, to teach me things, to bring to remembrance. You know, whenever I'm preparing a sermon, I do get things all of a sudden brought to my remembrance, and that's when I kind of go, wow, I think this is the Spirit of God that is giving me these things. I forget that the Spirit makes intercession for us, like Sue said, reminded me when we read that, that we don't even know sometimes what to pray for, but the Spirit is there to make intercession and to plead on our behalf. But I think I really forget the rest of the scripture that we read this morning about the power of the Holy Ghost, about the power of the Spirit. And page 775, I want to continue reading in verse 8. It says, "And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God, for there are many, and they come from the same God, and there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And they are given by manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, will never be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men." So this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, is also the deliverer of the gifts of God. It says the Spirit manifests. What does it mean to manifest? It says the Spirit manifests. Shows. It's an indication of the existence, the reality, or presence of something. So the Spirit makes these things known. And the gifts are teaching the word of wisdom, teaching the word of knowledge, exceedingly great faith, healing, working mighty miracles, prophesying concerning all things, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, tongues, the ability to interpret languages and diverse kinds of tongues. I want to read that same scripture in 1 Corinthians before we talk about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the other scripture found in the Bible that coincides very close with that we just read in Moroni. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul says this starting in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Says the Spirit will give the gifts separately, divide them up as he will. You know, the chapter continues to talk about the body of Christ, the church, talks that, you know, all types that are needed, that no one is better than anyone else, you know. And then in verse 29, we read, it says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Paul says to covet earnestly. And you know what? I look up at the definition. We all know that when you covet is to desire something, and to be earnest about that is with great effort. And to covet earnestly, Paul is saying that we should desire seriously and with great effort the gifts of the Spirit. I'll say that one more time. Paul is saying to us that we should desire seriously and with great effort the gifts of the Spirit. Just reading one more verse right there, chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. It says to desire spiritual gifts, that we should desire daily wisdom. We should desire knowledge, exceeding great faith, healing, working of mighty miracles, prophesying, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, tongues, and the ability to interpret languages and diverse kinds of tongues. Question I want to ask you today, question I'm asking myself today is, do we desire these free gifts of God? They're free. They're powerful. They're awesome. They would strengthen our belief. They would help us to be more committed. The question I have for us though today is, why do we not covet earnestly the gifts of God? I want to read to you one more scripture. Moroni 10. Moroni 10:14. And now I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, will never be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. So do we not covet these because of our unbelief? Do we not believe? Is it because of our lack of desire, maybe, of these gifts? Maybe it's because we're not in tune to the Holy Ghost that's been given to us to know that the Holy Ghost is desiring to give us these gifts. Maybe it's because we desire the things of the world more than the things of God. You know, it's not maybe our number one priority in life. That's why we don't desire it as much. Is anybody in here afraid of these gifts? Are you afraid to receive of them? Does anybody in here think that maybe they're not real? Is it because God requires our full attention and commitment in order to give these gifts? Is the requirement too much to receive the gift? Anybody? Anybody want to volunteer up why you don't covet earnestly the gifts of God? Or maybe you do. If you don't, if you could offer up something, why don't you covet earnestly the gifts of God? Anybody? Say it. It's okay. Mine was like, I'm lazy. I'm lazy. Mom? Lazy. It's not a priority. Mm-hmm. I think that one really came to me. You know, we desire the things of the world more than the things of God. You know, and by world, we can think of so many things that we kind of wish would be going right or this would be going on, and we kind of desire those things more than these gifts that God would give. Anybody else? You feel unworthy to receive the gift. So you're not in tune to God. You're not living a righteous life in order to receive that he would have. I would like you guys to imagine that today is your birthday. Sue, it was just yesterday for you. Shouldn't be too hard. Close your eyes. Y'all got to close your eyes. All right. Today is your birthday. Pretend whichever age you want to be. So Sue, you can be 30 if you want. It's your birthday today. It's going to be the biggest birthday party that you've ever had. All of your closest friends are there. Tons of food is there. All of your favorite food dishes are there. The largest cake is there. You're playing games with all of your friends. And there it is. The biggest table that you have ever seen, with the biggest, most beautifully wrapped presents ever. There they are, ready to be opened and to be used, and inside are full of all of your favorite gifts. You can open up your eyes. So now you envisioned your birthday and these wonderful gifts on the table. But gifts are supposed to be from the heart, right? Wayne's was blank? Okay. At least we know what to... It often happens. Oh, Sue doesn't get him anything. Okay. Gifts are supposed to be from the heart, right? Well, today we get a little wrapped up in, well, I gave my brother 20 bucks, so I have to give my sister 20 bucks. And nieces and nephews get this whenever we go to a birthday party. And we put a limit on, we put limits on our gifts that we give. But we know that, God has no limit. That he has these most wonderful gifts for us. You know, when you go home and you see that dining room table or your kitchen table, imagine it filled to the top with these most wonderful presents, these most wonderful gifts. And you say to yourself, oh, I want these gifts. I want these gifts. We need to seriously in our lives desire these spiritual gifts from God. And that really got me when I looked at the word of covet earnestly. And that is to have serious desire in our life about these spiritual gifts from God. That we, I think Christy hit the nail on the head a little bit, that we feel unworthy because we are not in tune to the Spirit because of our lack of service to our God, our lack of righteousness. We need to get in tune to the Spirit that's been given to us. We all that have went into the waters of baptism have received this Holy Ghost and this Spirit, and we need to be in tune to the working of it. We have been given it to help us in all things, to bear record, to leading us, to directing our lives, to giving us comfort, to teaching us, to being the intercessor for us, but also including the delivering of the gifts of God. What are you going to desire this day? What are you going to desire the day after? The words of wisdom, knowledge, exceedingly great faith, healing, working mighty miracles, prophesying, the beholding of angels, tongues, and the interpretation of different kinds of tongues. I hope today that I brought to your mind the recollection that, you know, God has kind of placed this on my heart to remind us of the Holy Ghost that we've been given and this Holy Spirit to be with us for all our days here on earth, and that it has all these things that it can do for us. And I don't want us to forget about the gifts that the Spirit would have for us, and that we just need to be in tune to that, and we need to covet earnestly and to have strong desire to want to have those gifts that God would have for us. I hope that brought you some hope today and some desire of something to strive for in our life.